Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Will from the newsroom has made his way into the studio. Good afternoon, Will. Hey. We've missed you, mate.
Yeah, you've had an extra long weekend.
Well, I was in yesterday morning.
But didn't see us, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, so it doesn't count, yeah.
It's not real if you're not with us.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Normally, we get you in every single day to test our news knowledge. That's going to happen a little bit later on in the show. But you were telling us a story before the show today, and it's a version of a story that I think has happened to a lot of people. Because you had a great night planned for Friday night with some mates.
Yes. Friday night, I was working here till 6 o'clock, my last bulletin, and I was going to catch a train down to a gig in Melbourne. And getting on at Geelong Station, walked down, texting my mates, letting him know I was there, and got on the train and got from Corio Station between Lara. Just left Corio and I went to text another mate of mine, and I was just feeling around my pockets.
Oh, no.
Thinking about,
like a scat man at this point, playing the spoons.
Just as a sidebar, it must be nice to have so many pockets, because as a lady, we don't get any of them.
Jess checked her one pocket.
Yes, open up my handbag and... my phone was nowhere to be found, and I wear an Apple Watch as well, and you can sort of see if your phone's around on the watch, and it was saying, nah, it's not here.
Not in radius.
Usually it gives you a little notice. It's like, your phone has been left behind. And you go, oh, no.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I probably should set it up after
Definitely
this experience.
Should.
Then I come to the conclusion that it's somewhere at the Geelong train station. So we got off at Lara, talked to the person at the Lara station to see if they could check for me. They got on the phone. And I didn't hear anything for about 10 minutes, so we just got on the next train that come back through, back to Geelong, got off at Geelong Station. And fortunately, a good Samaritan had handed my phone in.
Had it just fallen out of your pocket on the seat or
something?
Well,
I don't know. I can't really remember if I... Because like I said, I texted my mates when I got to the station, so I knew that's where I'd left it.
And then after that, just threw it across the tracks.
And I think I just maybe put it like on the seat.
Okay.
And then I got up.
So that was like my friend's fault for talking to me while I was getting. Yeah,
it's definitely not your fault.
Yeah.
Was it like a 30-minute round trip?
Oh well, it added probably an extra 45 minutes by the end of it. All.
You ended up having to drive because you'd wasted so much time, didn't you?
Yes. So as a sort of an apology to my mates who I inconvenienced as well, I said I'll drive us and I won't drink at the gig. So that's what happened.
If it was one of your mates who'd lost their phone, would you say, that's a shame, you should get off
and
meet us
and I'll see you there
in the city?
Who do you think I am?
I mean, no, Will would never. You would.
I'd do it. I'd do it to both of you. I think it's like a 45-minute lost and found, like being reunited. That's a success story.
That's the best possible case scenario.
It was a good result.
Yeah.
Your phone copped it this weekend.
Yes, I fell into a pool on Saturday. I won't go into that too much, but my phone was in my pocket when I fell into the pool.
All right.
So Sunday was spent. I spent recovering on Sunday as well as my phone.
Yep, just both of you laying in a bag of rice.
Yes.
52232955. Just lost phone stories.
Yeah. Where'd you lose your phone?
Where'd you lose it? Where'd you find it? Like a lot of stories might be about putting on roofs of cars and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
But if the smart
Which I believe Will has also
I
done.
I also did that.
How about you respect your property?
I probably should.
Yeah, probably.
Can you get you one of those phone straps so you can put it around your body?
Just permanently tape it to my hand.
That's a good idea. 52232955. Give us a call. Tell us your lost phone stories. Megan in Bell Park, you and your mum lost. Is it your phone, both your phones?
Both phones. So mum's notorious for leaving her phone in the fridge or the freezer.
Sorry, you're saying it far too casually. What do you mean?
Well, it happens so often, Tim.
It does. And every time she's like, oh, where's my phone? All of us kids are like, have you checked the fridge? And she's like, eh. And she'll go and have a look, and 9 times out of 10, it'll be there.
So hang on. Is she like putting things or taking things out of the fridge and she goes, oh, I'm holding my phone, I'll just put it in the side door or something? Or is she just, that's where it's safekeeping?
At this point, you'd almost think safekeeping.
Okay.
But she'll like be on her phone doing something, and then she'll be making a coffee or getting food out or whatever. And she'll put her phone down to grab what she needs, but then she'll shut the door.
All right. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. So now we've cleared that up. Tell us about losing.
Yeah, I love that you've dobbed your mum in first. Where do you leave your phone, Megan?
I was notorious at one point before I had my little boy for leaving it at the pub.
Just at the pub.
How often would you leave it at the local pub?
Oh, yeah, a couple times a week.
Megan, would it happen so frequently that staff at that particular bar be like, oh, that's just Megan's phone, we'll just chuck it behind and she'll come and get it in the next couple of days?
Yeah, look, I'd always go back like the same day to get it, but it did, you know, by the time I got the Uber or mummy would come pick me up, I'd have to be like, turn around.
And your mum would be like, hang on a second, let me just grab my phone. Oh, wait, it's in the freezer.
It's in the fridge.
This is Tim and Jess.
Meg McDonald, Cats AFLW captain, joining us in the studio. So keen to see you. Good afternoon, Meg. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Great, we were so relieved to see that you signed on again for another year.
Thank you. Relief is good. Congratulations. Hopefully surprise isn't an overwhelming...
Not surprised.
Not surprised, just relieved to see your name on the list again.
Surprised you weren't signed already.
Yes, well, it all got settled in the sort of off-season, but there are these, AFL's got to do all their list business, and, yeah. And we went for a tennis-themed announcement. I love my tennis. So,
excellent. Yeah. We'll get to the bits and bobs, because not just yourself, but a couple mm-hmm. of your other teammates have re-signed. We'll get to that in a moment, because we do have you for about 10, 15 minutes, so we're very appreciative. You've been on off-season for so far this year. What have you been up to? We were just talking in the news and the song there that you went overseas. Really cool experience. Do you mind sharing where you went?
No, absolutely. Yes, I went to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks, or just over 3 weeks, in a one-on-one trip with my mum. So that was
wow,
beautiful and testing all at the same time, but an incredible experience. What a beautiful country. I think the more people that I said I was going to go there too, the more said, oh, I've been there, I'd like to go. I know the advertising push is big for it at the moment, so I can't recommend it more highly. And so much variety, and so much of a small island. It was great.
Who was more of the parent, you and your mum?
Well, it's like parents v eldest child energy.
Yes.
When she's not an eldest child.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bit of that going on. I was probably more familiar with the general teachings of Buddhism, I would say. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to be very chill when the airport was so, so busy.
Right. Just keeping a bit mindful.
Yes. I'm like, Mum, we've been immersed in this for 3 weeks. Like, don't worry. Someone's pushing in line. Karma. We'll get there.
Oh, wow. That's good. So 3 weeks overseas and karma is still a bitch.
No, I'm sorry. I don't pretend to. That is.
What I love seeing with some off-season with the AFL and the AFLW players is you'll either see kind of one or two things. You'll see a whole bunch of photos and videos of people like hanging out together, like players, teammates going on trips or just having beach days, all these kind of things, or that you will see nothing and mm-hmm. maybe you completely go, you know what, I just need some space from my teammates. Have you been like, how much have you been catching up, or are you like, look, I love you girls, but I'll see you when we get back to training in a couple of months' time?
Yeah, I've probably been more that way than ever before, admittedly. I think that's an age thing. I'm sort of getting to a vintage where it's lovely to see the 21-year-olds have a great time together, but I was happy to be with my mum drinking tea in another country.
Fair
enough,
yeah.
I think that's probably best for everyone involved. There's now such a core group of players in our team who are between 20 and 25, and, you know, they're staying fit, they're staying active, they've got such a great sort of community amongst them. I think they might be going away together next week. So happy for them, and I'll just dip in and out on occasion.
Lovely.
I'll go to the movies with Becky Webster.
Is that how you get Becky to stop talking? Take her to the movies? Or is that because I thought the same with Jess, but
yeah.
No, Jess.
But
just
I like to chat during movies, and Tim doesn't want to go to the cinemas with me anymore.
Yeah, I struggle with the chat, but then I also, if I am really excited about a movie, cough wicked, cough. Like
yeah.
I was
okay.
Like really,
girl,
I'd seen
I
the stage
you.
Show 10
yeah.
times. Mm-hmm. I was into it. I knew all the bits, and I was there with my teammate, housemate, Rachel.
How much did you cry?
I cried not too much.
I was crying the whole time.
The whole, yeah.
The whole movie.
I was
3 hours.
I was feeling the emotions, but I was like, part two is going to be an absolute, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But the instinct to constantly lean over and be like, and this is this, and that.
Oh, because you know
is,
so much
yeah.
about it.
I was into it.
Okay.
So it's hypocritical to say I don't speak in a movie, but... It has to be on my terms.
Okay, all right.
See, eldest child.
Yeah, there it is.
I know people are so keen for footy season to kick off again, Tim. And I was actually talking to Kingy from K-Rock Football just earlier, Meg, and he mentioned that he spotted you at the men's preseason training, vigorously taking notes.
Yeah. Oh, what's happening here? Are we thinking of coaching? Is that something that could be?
It was funny. I went out there and I looked over and I thought, oh, media's here. No, I have a communications role at the club during the day. So I work in the comms team and I've been tasked. I do some speech writing for the club and some, I might write scripts for videos, that sort of thing. So I just needed some fresh air and to take in the atmosphere of the stadium and have the words flow.
You're telling me it was a shopping list.
No.
There's no way, Meg.
It genuinely wasn't. I will tag you and Kingy when that piece of content sees the light of day.
Okay, all right. Now, you signed a one-year extension yourself as well as Kate Darby. We love Darbs. Shelley Scott, Kate Sermon, Melissa Bragg, Gabby Featherston, Caitlin Thorne. Are these all one-year deals for you and your teammates or so all kind of different lengths?
I believe that crop that you just mentioned are 1 year, but there were others who have signed. Actually, you'd have to ask them, but others who had signed, last year and more extensive deals a couple of years ago. But Aisling Maloney, who I don't think you mentioned, she's probably our biggest one. She signed a 3-year deal for the club.
Shoot. Oh, that's good for us.
It's great. It's great for us because she would have to have been the hottest property in the mm-hmm. AFLW competition. And I mean, it's just mind blowing the talent and her rise from. Recruiting her from Ireland a year and a half ago to being probably the best player, one of the best players in the comp.
It's also not fair in the same light because how dare she pick this sport up in her later in life and just be so good. It must make so many players, like you're probably feeling great because she's on your team, but it must make opposition players be like, who's this girl? She doesn't know this sport, but she's better than most of us. Like that must be really, really confronting. Like she must just be like, you know how some people are just like, no matter what sport they would play, mm-hmm. she would just excel. And it just, so we're so lucky that she's here at the Cats.
I couldn't have said it better. I've played on some fantastic forwards and trained with some fantastic forwards, but she would have to be the number one for thank goodness I don't have to do this on game day.
Yeah.
She's honestly amazing. And oh, shout out to her. She put a bit more action up on TikTok last week. So she reckons she's going to commit to life on the farm and sharing that a little more. So
I'll have to give her a follow. Yeah.
A follow. inspirational stuff. No, she is an unbelievable talent. Yes.
I know.
I think she lulls people into a false sense of security because you look at her and you're like, oh, how can you run that fast?
Yeah, it's freakish. That's the only word that I would use to describe it. It might be a super hard question to answer because the season, what, it starts in July, August, if mm-hmm. that. So we're still a way away. Captain for the last couple of years, you've signed a one-year deal. Are you hoping to be captain this year or are you looking at a transition period? I know it's a lot to put on you right now. Happy New Year.
Shout out Kingy, hey?
No, never. Kingy from K-Rock Football does not give us notes.
I should take notes from Danger's comments on this. No. Yeah. Oh, it's an honour each and every year that I get to captain the side. And I think our processes that we go through every pre-season, I think 5 years that I've done it, we do a vote each and every year and hopefully it's been true that the best person for the job's captained, and if that's me this time around again.
Wow. I didn't realise that you had voted on it every single year.
Oh yeah, you've got to.
Every club kind of does it differently, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily, you might be voted the most, but sometimes they might just go, all right, well that's nice to know and we're going to go with somebody else. But it's like, it's good to see that what the team kind of puts out mm-hmm. there, I assume. But every club kind of handles it differently.
Yeah, I think they do. And I mean, different things will be better for different groups. But I think for the group, it's important that they feel like they've had their say. And for the elected leader, I think it's important that they feel that the group has chosen them and trust them. So as you said, I've got another year of playing. If I captain or not, I mean, I don't know, but we've got some outstanding leaders coming through.
Well, if anyone ever questions your commitment, and you mentioned it just before, just show them how many times you've seen Wicked and say, find someone who studies harder than me for these movies and these stage shows. I'll bring that to the footy club as always.
Every time I try and do a box jump now, I'm going to like play Defying Gravity. They're like, you can do it.
All right.
You've still got it.
Yeah, you still do, and we're so excited. I know it's a while away, but we're very grateful for you to give us some time in your off-season. Meg McDonald from the Cats AFLW.
No, thanks for having me. I'll see you again later in the year. Tim and Jess,
the podcast. Life, you know, it's full of milestones. From when you're a kid to when you grow up, it's all just like, it's exciting when you achieve something or something happens mm-hmm. for the first time, and you go, oh, wow, like, That's really cool. Like, oh, I went overseas for the first time.
Right.
Or like I had my first kid's birthday party. And especially like since I've become a parent, like seeing the milestones that my son hits.
Well, you get to do all the firsts all over again.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And he's like 1.5. Mm-hmm. So like he's been doing, and like there's so much growth in the last like 6 months in particular. Like it's the walking, it's the talking.
I love hearing about Jack's little eras that he's going through.
It's speed error right
yep,
now.
Yep, I thought so.
Best boy. we hit a milestone in the house last night. Really special. Got home, had dinner, all of us, and I love it. When I get home every night, I get home just enough time to have dinner and give him a bath before mm-hmm. he goes to bed. And so having a bath, and then my wife's like, oh, hey, can you go and start getting dinner sorted? I'll get him ready out of the bath. I was like, sweet, no worries. So... And I heard what was happening before my wife actually realized what was going on in the bath. Because, again, this is a milestone. I heard a particular sound. And I was like, I know that sound. Sounds like my son's doing a number two.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
First poo in the bath.
I love it.
Because I could hear the...
Oh.
From down the hall.
Look, when you got to go, you got to go.
I know. And he must have been busting the poor thing. Yep. And my wife's like, what are you doing? And I said, and again, she's with him in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I go, I reckon he's doing a poo. And she goes, he has. And just like really quietly, really softly.
Who pulled the short straw of having to pull it out of the bath?
No, I was always going to get it. I was always going to get it. Because it was right at the end. We're like, all right, we'll get out of the bath. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, mate. Like, you had to go. Sorry. He was fine. Like, you know, he's probably feeling quite relieved, if anything. And my wife's getting him ready for his jammies and all that stuff. And I just sieve back to the bathroom and deal with it. Tell you what, it was fine until I got it out of the water. Really, it's like water unlocks all those different smells. It's like farting in the shower. You know?
How often are you gassing yourself in the shower?
You learn. You learn that it's not the place. But what I wanted to do, because this was a milestone for us.
Yep.
The first time our son went number two in the bath. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Where did your kid go number two? That wasn't the toilet.
Sure.
I just want to have that as a ground rule, because I don't want to have 50 toilet calls or like in their nappy. Because, you know, sometimes I'm sure that I've done it in the bath when I was a kid. I remember, and it's one of those things, I can't remember if I know this because I did it or if it's a story
that
was
told
to me. But I think I did an accidental number two in the bath and I tried to hide it with the bubbles and then the bubbles just started evaporating.
Oh,
and I was
no.
Well, what do I do? Can't make more bubbles. So, you know, it was a moment. It was a milestone. So
okay.
I wanted to hear some other milestones.
This might put me off having kids. Amazing.
Jess, it's exciting because we've asked people to call up, you know, where did your kid go number two, whether it was you or your kid. And much like my son's little bottom, the phones have exploded.
Yes. I don't think you're ready to hear all right. these calls, Tim.
Let's go. Kim in Bell Post Hill. Kim, this was you when you were a kid. Where did you go number two?
So my sister had given me ice cream and she was babysitting, so she was a lot older than me. And my mum was at work, obviously, and she had me outside eating the ice cream and there was this weird tint that we had on the windows. And so she panicked, my sister panicked, thinking that I had poo all over my face and ran outside with the hose and hosed me down to realise it was just ice cream.
So it wasn't an actual... She thought it was an accidental number two, but it was just chocolate ice cream.
She thought I was eating it.
Hey?
Oh!
But imagine Kim in her mind, she's like, I'm babysitting. Babysitting, she's eating poo. What am I going
to
do?
Yeah.
Like,
I'd hose you down too.
Just got a hose to the face.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Waterboarding always manages to get it off. I think we'll go, Amanda in Leopold.
Yeah. Amanda, this was quite recent, right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us, where did your kid go number two?
So my 19-month-old ended up going all over my 6-year-old's mattress in the bedroom.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You guys were a little bit unwell, though, weren't you, Amanda?
Yes. We got the gastro outbreak in the house. And my 19-month-old was actually doing pretty well, only high temperatures. And then he decided to surprise us and... Got it on my 6-year-old's mattress.
Surprise, indeed. God. And I imagine it wasn't quite...
Fibrous.
Fibrous.
So, serious rubbish, it all went on the floor, and Anna, my 6-year-old, accidentally got into it as well.
Oh,
should have used Kim's sister's hose. That would have helped the situation. Jess, who do you want to go
Dave
to next?
In Hamlin Heights. Dave. This was your daughter?
Yeah.
What happened? Where'd she go, number two?
Well, she was just free roaming outside. Just a bit of no nappy time.
Yeah.
And pooed on the grass.
Oh, no.
Just out on the lawn.
Absolutely disgusted with herself when she seen it. Like, it was like a murder scene.
Oh, poor thing.
Oh, yuck.
How old's your daughter, Dave?
1.5.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that happens, you know. And, like, do you have dogs or anything? Or was she... Nah, or cows?
Nah.
Can't even blame it on the animals.
No.
Nah, absolutely. Like, it was like a horror scene.
Oh.
She was disgusted.
Did you go and get, like, you know, the poo bag, like you get at a dog park, and, you know, make sure you tie it up and put it in the bin? Like, just be like, look, I know it wasn't a dog, but if we do see this, this is how we act.
I'm just going to wait for it to dry out and mow it.
Are you still there, Dave? God.
Donnie in Belmont. Finish us off here. Was this you? Was this your child?
Yeah, we got five children, and we're coming back from Werribee, and having five children, you're all normally fairly organised and have a couple of spare nappies and spare this and spare clothes everywhere, as you should. Anyway, we smelt this awful smell in the car, which is quite often what happens when someone accidentally poos themselves. And so we pulled over and we've looked, so it squirted out. I don't even know how so much came out of such a little kid, like, but it squirted all the way up to the back of his nap, out of his nappy, and came out the top, at the top of the baby seat. But one other thing that's happened in our household is we've got, you know, almost an indoor swimming pool, and one of them's let a little nugget go in the swimming pool, and all the other boys are going, oh, yuck, you know, and the one that slipped the nugget thought, oh, well, I'll just scoop it with my hand, and you understand what happens when it's in the water, right? He's gone. We're on a boundary wall sort of thing, the swimming pool wall. So he's gone to flick it up over the boundary wall, didn't quite make the distance, and landed on his brother's head.
Johnny!
Seems intentional at that point. Like, how do you tell your sibling that didn't happen on purpose?
This is Tim and Jess.
Got Will to stick around because he's interested in this. Can you catch Will and everyone else up to speed what they missed yesterday if they didn't hear it?
If you missed it yesterday, Will, do you remember the astronauts that went up to the International Space Station? It was supposed to be an 8-day mission, Sonny.
The ones that got stuck?
Yes. Yep. It was supposed to be an 8-day mission. They got delayed, and then they got delayed again and again. And then it was supposed to happen in February. They were supposed to be collected from with a little help from SpaceX, Elon Musk's company. It turns out that it may be delayed yet again, and they might not be coming home till March now.
Right.
Yeah, and so what we were talking about was, I said to him, he said, you know, have you seen a picture of them recently? I said, the only picture I have of them is the one that was released when they were about to go up for the initial stint in June.
Right.
My first thought was, are they able to do haircuts? Like, is this bloke's beard just out of control?
Like, insane does it
like,
really look?
No haircut for 8 months. Mm. They weren't planning on it. Like, you can't just shave your beard off or cut your hair in space because all the tiny hair will go over. It'll get into the equipment.
You are going to kick yourself when you hear how they do haircuts in space, Tim. Because
deep dive?
They do. They do haircuts in space. And the astronauts give each other haircuts.
That's nice.
Oh, nice.
Right? And the reason you're going to kick yourself is because it's so insanely simple the way that they get this done. Right? Because you're right. If they were to just cut hair, those hairs would go everywhere. It would be a disaster. It would be a nightmare. So it turns out astronauts get haircuts in space by using special hair clippers that are attached to a vacuum device.
Oh.
So imagine your hair clippers that you guys get your hair cut with, but there's a hose attached to it.
That makes sense.
And as it cuts, it sucks the hair in to the hose. And so they literally just clipper each other's hair.
Wow.
And that, they do their haircuts in space.
As if they don't have that everywhere.
That would make so much sense, right?
Barbers would love that.
My husband always complains that when he goes to the hairdressers, like he has to come home and immediately shower, otherwise he gets all those little hairs on his back of his neck. I think if they've got them in space, we should bring them down here.
You go, Will.
Would it actually work down here? Or is the lack of gravity the reason that it works?
There's a chance. Mm. I think there's so many reasons, Will, I don't think you could be an astronaut. But I think because you get such a sick haircut, I don't think you'd trust your fellow astronauts or cosmonauts to give you a sick face.
I feel like if an astronaut can go up in space and be like doing complex equations, they can
do a sick fade.
They can figure out how to do
imagine
a sick fade,
if you're at NASA and you're just passing your astronaut course or whatever they call it. It's like, all right, the last step is haircuts.
I feel sorry.
A lot of them have the buzz cut, so it's pretty simple. It's not like sick fade territory.
Do you think stereotypically the females with longer hair probably just go, I'm not going
to... I'm just going to forego a haircut for in Sunny's case, 8 months, because that's how long they've been up there.
Yeah. That's genuinely so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. And it makes sense. Of course there would be a vacuum because otherwise big trouble.
Yeah. I would like to see a photo of them now to see if they've got a sick fade.
Whose job is it to clean the hair box out? Like, do you just poof that into space? Or
maybe.
Giant hairballs
floating
around.
Medical waste.
Imagine that's how aliens find us. We found a kilo of hair.
Because, like, do they expel, like, all their... Like, obviously, they've got waste that they're...
Maybe tomorrow, Jess, on the show, you can tell us
like,
what else they
surely they don't
do.
Shoot that off
maybe
as a comet into space, right?
Ball of poo and hair just floating around.
All right.
Ready to crash an Earth.
Should it not?
Ready to crash an Earth. I reckon they bring it home. Like they just put it back on the...
The music ending is probably really fitting. All right. No. If we need to continue this, tomorrow.
Maybe we'll continue it tomorrow.
What a weird thread this week.
There you go.
Yeah.
Haircuts. They happen in space.
Yeah. Big vacuum on the Clippers. It's not science. It's not rocket science.
It's really not.
Thanks, Will.
Come on. All thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.